Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Director Dr. Donald Lindbergh of the National Library of Medicine. Also joining us in our conversation is Marion Ball. Dr. Lindbergh, we understand that when you came to NLM almost 20 years ago, you laid out a process for envisioning and defining the next 20 years. That time is now roughly expiring. What do you see as the next 20 years?
Well, I first of all would like to say that one of the cheapest and best things an institution does is planning. So, I mean, I look back upon that period as a very profitable and fruitful period. I'm very glad that we did that. The 20 years has expired, and we're in the middle of a new plan. So I naturally will use a process of bottom-up planning the way we always have, that is to say, to try to get representation of the people we're trying to serve and find out what they want done and so forth. So I wouldn't want to, you know, presume to know the outcome of this process. But on the other hand, it is very evident that we have crossed the Rubicon in that we are devoting a tremendous amount of attention to the needs of the public, the information needs of the public. So I don't think there's any escaping the idea that increasingly patients, families, and the public will be direct users of our systems. Now, there's a scientific side of that as well, namely the genomics, and that's reshaping medicine. I mean, that's we look for a more extravagant verb and metaphor because the changes are just so potentially vast. And NLM is very central to that because we're the repository for that information. I think over the next 20 years, we'll be the repository of knowledge and wisdom about how to use that genomic stuff. But at the moment, it's pretty much in the, more on the data side and, you know, the shape of molecules and ways to calculate similarity. And the field is a very interesting one, but it's a vast one, and scientists are struggling to find their way through all that. So I would say that those two things inevitably are going to dominate, somehow or another, going to dominate the next 10 or 20 years for us. The public side, so-called consumer health information, and the implementations and full fruition of the genomic revolution.
How do you see information technology further shaping the future of the library and its many databases and resources?
Well, I mean, everything technical is getting easier. But on the other hand, we know as individual users that we're sort of faced with some people use the metaphor drinking from the fire hose. I mean, you can get so much information so fast that it's easy to be get a little indigestion out of it. So I guess that we're going to have to be all of us professionals are going to have to be major participants in figuring out ways to handle that particular dilemma. Filters or information diets or something. I mean, we're going to have to figure out how to do this.
Turn down the pressure a little bit on that fire hose, right?
Don, we talked to our guests about the pending retirement wave in government and what type of impact it will have on the operations, particularly at NLM. What do you see in this regard?
Well, I mean, we look around and see lots of people who are going to be in the next 5 years, good people retiring. But on the other hand, I see lots of good young people coming in. Like the rest of the U.S., I mean, a lot of the people are coming from U.S. institutions. A lot are coming from overseas, too.
Can you expand that a little bit more? How are you recruiting and hiring and training the future generations at NLM?
We try to recruit people who already had graduate training. So our approach to that is that the institution supports 18 training grants and probably 20, 24 American universities. And we have for way over 25 years. So the training in medical informatics in the U.S. is very dependent upon NLM. For this financial and organizational support. Now, that's the American side. We do very little to help those in the other world to get trained, and we feel that we ought to be doing more. We're not, perhaps we'll be able to add that as a more important feature in the next 10 years.
Don, as an advisor and a wise man in government, what can you see to give a person who is interested in a career in public service as guidance or a leg up as to why you, for example, went into it and have made such a contribution?
Yeah, I would say if anyone's considering government service, do it. Now, it would be nice in order for them to be happy with it that you pick out an agency or a unit or something that you respect and a job or a task that you know is important and therefore respect, and then get in and do it. Probably one of the changes that I see is that people tend to be able to go in and out of government much more flexibly than they used to. I mean, it used to be sort of a career decision, and some of the very, very best people leave in college or just automatically come and take a set of exams for government service, you know, maybe State Department or overseas or NIH. That is not a pattern that seems to be happening much anymore. I'm sorry about that, but I think people are able to see a way to be of service in the government, then to go out into industry or universities, maybe even overseas, and then come back in. I mean, there are changes. You'll see in graduate education, for instance, that the students are much, much older than they used to be. I mean, it's now considered in law and engineering not at all unusual and maybe very desirable for somebody to have finished a baccalaureate and then go in and worked for, you know, Caterpillar or IBM or somebody good somewhere and then come back for a graduate program. So I think that the government service is compatible with this new pattern, and I hope that the very best people will continue to jump in because we need them.
That's great. Dr. Lindbergh, that'll have to be our last question as we've reached the end of our time. First, I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. Second, Mary and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the public and our country in the various roles you've held at the National Institute of Health and within the scientific community.
Thank you. I do want to say that the way to get electronic access to NLM's information is to go to nlm.nih.gov, preceded by all the www's and all that. And that's the home page, and everything else can be indexed from that. I should perhaps also say that a lot of people come to NLM through network servers like Google. We go out of our way to be sure that they know the way our files are organized, and often that's not a bad way to get to us. But we welcome you, however you come.
Great. Well, I hope all your servers are working because I'm sure you're going to get a lot of hits after this.
That's good.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Donald Lindbergh, Director of the National Library of Medicine. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of the day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.